Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. Quarter number three means it's time to ask T. Frank. This is where we have T. Frank answer your questions about Penn State football, recruiting, or life in general. If you have a life question, T. Frank, I know, is your guy. So if you want to submit a question, you could download our app from the App Store. It's simply Keystone Sports, or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net with your question. And then after the segment, we'll select the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN polo shirt. T. Frank, are you ready?
Let's do this.
Okay. Let's start.
By the way, I would love life questions. That would be hilarious. I would love that.
Well, knowing our audience and the rest of the crew around here, I know you're still new here, T. Frank, but life questions usually consist of food questions, preferably barbecue questions. We also get a lot of pizza questions. So to us, that's what we consider life questions, all right?
Gotcha. Okay, got it.
All right. So let's start with Joe from Scranton. Joe says, I listen to the show every day. Thank you for that, Joe. However, there's always a however here, T. Frank. However, I was stunned when Andy said that Joe Moorhead is a much better offensive coordinator than Mike Yurcich. Moorhead had Barkley, who was held 53 yards against Rutgers, because he ran the same plays over and over. I say give Yurcich a chance before judgment is passed. What say you, T. Frank?
Yeah, that part, that last part of give him a chance. So I will say that I am a huge Joe Moorhead fan as well. I think that if you're looking for just Saquon Barkley stats, that's missing the picture. If you look at the offensive output that Joe Moorhead had at Penn State, and then if you look at the offensive output that he has at Oregon in a similar situation of not being at Mississippi State, again, not being in the SEC, at Mississippi State, everywhere else he's been, he's had dynamic offenses that have been very, very effective. But if you just want to stop a running back, this is the whole conversation in sports now. If you want to just stop a running back, even Barkley, you can contain Barkley to a degree. He's going to pop a couple, but on the whole, your offense will suffer if you just try to run the same thing through Barkley. Now, the system has evolved since then, and Joe Moorhead has evolved as a play caller because of failings like that Rutgers game. But I think that Mike Yurcich is in a similar mold to Joe Moorhead of a creative offensive designer that can make plays for the offense. So the quarterback has to make the plays, but the offensive coordinator needs to design the plays that are the most successful and teach the quarterback and make that a position of success. I've seen evidence over time from Mike Yurcich. Now, it's not a giant body of evidence. You really have Mason Rudolph. That's what you have. And you have 1 year with Justin Fields at Ohio State where he was the passing game coordinator, and they had some of the most explosive numbers in deep passing. Now, he was not the full offense coordinator. He was the passing game coordinator. But you do have evidence over time of him elevating passing attacks. So that's what you're hoping for, and that's what I think you'll be getting in Mike Yurcich. He is much more of that guy than I think Ricky Ronnie was, and to a degree, Kirk Ciarrocca, because I do think he got the short end of the stick at Penn State. His stuff is different than what James Franklin likes. It's more run-based, setting things up with play action, explosive plays through play action, where Mike Yurcich uses design and scheme to get explosive plays down the field. That's more of what Joe Moorhead did. That's more of what I think is in line with and why Mike Yurcich is here. So anyone can be proven wrong. Mike Yurcich could struggle with Sean Clifford, and he might not be able to elevate him in year one. But I think it's a positive sign that Mike Yurcich is the offense coordinator. I think it's a move in the right direction for Penn State. So give him time to prove himself in the situation. I think that's a fair thing to do.
And T. Frank, we were talking about this a little bit off the air. I think oftentimes the coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback gets too much blame or too much credit. But I do believe what you'll see from Mike Yurcich will be more like what you saw from Joe Moorhead. And if you want to see what Joe Moorhead could do with an explosive offense, watch a replay of that Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin, where Penn State was chucking the ball all over the field. It was big play after big play. And by the way, a lot of fun to watch. Let's go to Brian in Austin, Texas. And he starts with, "Hey, T-Funk." Okay? Is that your new rapper name, T-Frank? T-Funk? What do you think?
Oh, good. T-Funk. Well, I would have to be a retro rapper, you know, one of the early 80s or late 80s rappers. But yeah, T-Funk. I can do that some old school hip hop. Okay.
Just as a quick aside, T-Frank, you're talking to an old man here. I don't differentiate versions of hip hop and rap, and that has no meaning to me.
Oh, okay? I have no idea. I have no idea what I just said. I just know it's right. I have no idea. I have no reference point for most of what I just said. I just know that T-Funk is much more of like the early rap days than the mumble rap or some of the stuff we have now with Post Malone. And I that's not me. I would much more be of the dude who's laying the verse. Much more of a poet.
I still have no idea what you're talking about. But I am going to credit Brian right here. From now on, I am probably going to be calling him T-Funk. All right, let's get to your question.
Oh, no.
Come on, T-Funk. Let's do it. What are your thoughts on Micah Bowens transferring to Oklahoma, a team that has a more than okay quarterback room? Friendly reminder, they signed five-star quarterback Caleb Williams in 21. They have a verbal from a 23 five-star in Malachi Nelson, and the current starter, Spencer Rattler, it's not too shabby either. Also, what Micah's departure for greener pastures suggests that Sean Clifford is an absolute stud? I'm not sure where that question's coming from, but.
You know, it's one that everyone's been curious about because of those things. But in the intermediate time, Micah Bowen would be the more senior quarterback on the roster with those true freshmen. So he's banking on the fact that he's going to go into a system that I think is proven to produce good quarterbacks of all skill sets and varieties. I mean, they've put people in the NFL on a regular basis. So you can just stop there and say Micah Bowen wants to go to the NFL, and he thought his best opportunity was with Lincoln Riley as his offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I liked his game. So I liked Micah Bowen. I didn't think he was a perfect prospect, but I thought he had a quick release. He had some accuracy plus stuff that I really liked. And if that fits for him in Oklahoma, that was his decision. I don't think it has any reflection whatsoever on Sean Clifford. It's more about what Micah Bowen wants in his career and what he thinks is best for his long-term skills and development. So, you know, obviously he went through a couple of coordinators and he wasn't fine or happy with the situation here, which is interesting because I think that, you know, you could have had a conversation if Sean Clifford struggles, is it Taquan Roberson? Or could Micah Bowen have pushed him this spring to be the number two in waiting in a situation that's pretty tenuous? The only part that I would say about that scenario is if he knew sort of the temperature of the room that James Franklin, it's ride or die with Sean Clifford. So that would be if he's looking for opportunity and it's not here, why not go to Oklahoma with a guy that gets people to the NFL who have similar skill sets to you?
And you understand the fact that at Oklahoma, they train quarterbacks to get him to the NFL. If things go as planned in Oklahoma, he will never take a snap. My prediction is,
sure.
he's
transferring again.
Yes, he's transferring again. My prediction is he follows in Tate Martell's footsteps and ends up back in his home state of Nevada again. All right, next up, T-Funk is Jason from Lebanon. Love your scouting reports, T-Frank. From your scouting of the 2022 commits, who do you think is the most underrated by the services? Bonus question you could also give us if you think any of them are overrated by the services.
Okay, I have to pull up the class to look at them. Offhand for 2022, probably the guy that just committed recently, Cam Miller, is probably the least highly rated that should be high rated because of his athleticism. I think that there's some athleticism and all the things that we talked about that will make him a better pro or a better college player than he was a high school player as a junior. So I think that there's a bit of that. And then JB Nelson is another guy that is not highly rated, but I have a high opinion of. So because of the Lackawanna situation and not being able to play football during the pandemic, I really like his tape, and I think his high end is, you know, way higher than his 3-star ranking. So those would be the two guys that I think are underrated by quite a bit and should be much more higher rated prospects.
How do they do that with the junior college guys when they rank them, T. Frank? It seems like, you know, you see, oh, they've got the number one player from JUCO, and he's barely a 3-star. Is there a flaw in the rankings of junior college players overall?
So, you know, you're asking me to give you insight into a process that I'm not entirely privy to, so we'll start there. But I think that the ranking process in general lacks context for the most part. So simply having a star ranking does not give you potential for growth. It does not give you physical skill sets. That's why I do what I do with my scouting reports, is it gives context to the players' ranking and skills and all of those things. So on the JUCO side, it's all about available film and why you're in that situation. So a guy like JB Nelson had 2 games of film, and if he doesn't look right and he doesn't move right for a scouting service, they're going to not really dig into it and give him the proper accreditation for his skills. But when you watch in depth in his film, I think you see all of those things you're looking for in a football player. On the flip side, there have been some highly rated defensive backs that have gone on to other schools because they had a lot of film and they had a lot of production on that level. And I think that's a key thing at those positions, is you get your hands on the ball, people are going to take notice. But if you're an offensive lineman, what's there to see unless you're actually looking?
All right. I think we're going to need to pick out our winner here, T. Frank. We had Joe from Scranton, who had the Joe Moorhead, Mike Yurcich question. We had Brian from Austin, Texas, who had the Micah Bowens question and called you T-Funk. And we had Jason from Lebanon, who asked you about any underrated players by the services. Who's our winner?
Well, I liked Brian's question, but he did waste a bunch of our time calling me T-Funk. So we didn't get to as many questions because of that, so he's out. So we're going to go with Joe from Scranton, so we had our offensive coordinator conversation. And I'm just saying, if you didn't get your question answered, it's because Brian derailed us massively with our hip-hop conversation.
Not only a winner, but you're also blaming a loser in Brian.
Well, it's the Olympics. I'm giving the medal finish.
That is it for quarter number 3. Stick around with our good friend Greg Pickles, going to join us in quarter 4. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in 4 Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.